Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When Christians introduce others to the Christian faith and perhaps hand them a Bible, one of the most common instructions given to the new believer is to start with something simple, start with something straightforward. And you say, you mean like the book of Revelation? No, not the book of Revelation, please. Often the instruction is given to begin with the gospel according to St. Mark, or with the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, which we've heard from today. And the reasons are simple. St. Mark is the shortest of the gospels. No long genealogies are in Matthew, or mind-blowing philosophical concepts like in the Gospel according to St. John. Just the answer to this question, who is this Jesus Christ, and what happened with him that the whole world has been talking about ever since? As for the epistle to the Romans, St. Paul's epistle to the Romans has a kind of logic and presentation different from the other epistles, which requires less background to fully understand. And the reason St. Paul's letter to the Romans is different is probably because at that time when he wrote the letter, he had not yet visited the Roman church. And most of the other epistles are written to churches that he had planted with whom he had specific knowledge, and those letters were often written in response to questions that were sent to him with a context that isn't always immediately obvious, in response to news that he had received concerning those churches. But to the Romans, St. Paul had a chance to use the space of the letter to lay out something of a theological treatise, a basis of Christian theology, and an explanation not only of who is this Jesus Christ, but what does the ministry of Jesus Christ mean for us? If you prefer, what does it mean to be saved, to be a Christian? What is the good news? What is the gospel? Many of you know that it was in the first century when the word gospel was first popularly used. And it was not with the advent of Jesus Christ that the word was used, but rather with the advent of Caesar Augustus. He was declared in the Roman world, this was the gospel, the evangelion, the good news. An inscription is found carved into an ancient government building in modern-day Turkey, carved in about 6 BC, and it begins like this. The birthday of Caesar Augustus has been for the whole world the beginning of the gospel concerning him. Ooh. And it goes on, the most divine Caesar we should consider equal to the beginning of all things, and on to the very end, who being sent to us and to our descendants as Savior has put an end to war and has set all things in order, and whereas having become God manifest, Caesar has fulfilled all the hopes of earlier times. Ooh. Perhaps with that, you can see now the boldness of St. Mark. The lion-hearted nature of St. Mark, who in chapter 1, verse 1, of his gospel account of Jesus Christ starts, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If you're going to look into the Christian faith, start with the beginning, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Who is this Jesus? What does his ministry to us mean? The very message and concern of St. Mark, of St. Paul, of the whole Bible, and of the whole church. But as you read and study and learn to both trust and worship, you must be fully aware that there are now and have always been competing gospels from the very beginning. In the epistle for today, we hear about the good news, and it has nothing to do with Caesar Augustus. Whew, that's nice. This good news for the salvation of the baptized follower of Christ. is the word for us. And if I'm going to tell you about a gospel, this is what I'm going to say. The good news is that we have been incorporated into Christ, bound together with him, marked with his indelible mark, made his own, so that the destiny of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is our destiny. And this is not a light-hearted, bubblegum, feel-good destiny either. St. Paul writes, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death." No bubblegum here. "That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Origen once wrote these words concerning this word of St. Paul, saying, "If we have been buried together with Christ in the way we outlined above, i.e., because we have died to sin, it follows that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we shall rise together with him. Just as he ascended into heaven, we shall also ascend with him. And just as he sits at the right hand of God, we shall also sit with him. As the apostle says elsewhere, he has made us sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now that's a gospel. I don't know about Caesar Augustus. That is good news. But hear this very closely. This gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has competition. The good news of Caesar Augustus was this: Caesar has come. Your troubles are over. Caesar Augustus has come. Trust him, for he is your Lord. Decide this day whether Augustus will be your Lord. Decide, and there will be consequences for your decision. If you reject the gospel of Augustus, it may not go so well for you. Perhaps this gospel, the good news of Caesar Augustus, seems ridiculous to us now. We can brush it off quite easily. Surely there is no such thing as a gospel like that in our current age. But we do have gospels. Let's tackle two today. Two false gospels in particular that are preached, that our ears hear, whether we are cognizant of it or not, and we're tempted to believe and follow and even incorporate into the church. First is the gospel of the spirit of the age. This gospel we have preached to us, this good news, is that of what one German philosopher called the Zeitgeist. The spirit of the age. It says this: "Glory and honor and power and strength to all who each day wake up, go outside, lick their pointer finger, hold it up into the air to see which way the wind is blowing today." It says, "Blessed are those who are at the forefront of the prevailing wind. Blessed are those who ride the crest of the wave of popular culture." This is just as much a gospel as that of Caesar Augustus, just as laughable. But what's not so funny is that this good news has countless more followers than Caesar ever had. It is an expansive gospel. In ethics, one must now ask, which way is the wind blowing? Right and wrong change by the month, by the news cycle. In philosophy, one must ask, what are the prevailing streams of thought? Which words am I now to use? What words must I now silence? In culture, one must ask, what behaviors will the important people now accept or admire? For the good news of the Zeitgeist has come, the gospel of the age. Dedicate yourselves to be fashioned and found in the image and likeness of the gospel of what's happening now. Of what's happening today. And I'm not kidding. wear the right thing, say the right thing, listen to the right thing, watch the right thing, repeat the right ideas, use the right words, and good news, there's something kind of like salvation for you. And many, many, many will accept this false gospel and check their revelation every morning with the morning news. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is not like that. It is not like that. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the good news, begins with simply learning who Jesus is. By his miracles, by his word, by his death and resurrection, he showed he is our Messiah, both God and man. By his actions, he has shown us the character and even the face of God. In his church and his apostles, he has shown us that salvation is in him, and to be saved is to be in Christ, to be incorporated into him, to be restored to his image and likeness. And this gospel, this good news, as opposed to the spirit of the age, is not a treadmill. Or if you've ever stumbled on a treadmill, you know what I'm talking about. If you stumble on a treadmill, you get beat up and spat out the back end to make way for faster believers who listened more closely to which way the wind was blowing. And people get chewed up and spat out every day. This is the straight and narrow path to the kingdom of God, where if you fall, you're not spat out, beat up. You may seek and receive the help you need and reach out and touch the hand of God and be fed and nourished to get up and keep going. That's good news. Incorporation into the Son of God means that the deity of Christ is incorporated into you. And if this gospel is true, if Christ is in you, then it goes much farther. For everything you experience in this life, and even tragedy, can serve as a help on the way to eternal life. Now that is a gospel, and that is good news. It's easy to reject the spirit of the age in a church like this. It's practically our founding principle to do that. But that bit about even our suffering being part of our salvation, many are not ready to hear that. To hear that even painful experience can be a part of what will become eternal life for you. And so there is another false gospel that comes much closer to home. For many, and even Christians, you know what would be real good news? The real good news, the best kind of news, is a call from your doctor. Physical health has returned. A call from the financial advisor. Material wealth has finally arrived. If the real good news, the real stuff, the real gospel to you is when the doctor tells you you're okay, or when the financial advisor calls with good news, then Houston, we have a problem. Don't get me wrong. It is good news to find out that you're healthy and to find out that your financial situation is stable. But that is not the good news. That is some good news. And this false gospel has a terrible irony to it, even a sadistic irony. We find it to be sometimes the best news of all, to have good health and plenty of money, all the while full knowledge exists in us that every one of us is inevitably destined for health failure, and at death, the utter irrelevance of our financial wealth. Sooner or later, we know the gospel of health and wealth will be no good news at all. It's a false gospel and has its own failure built right into it. Good news. When St. Mark says the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, when he says it, it's a thumb in the eye of the prevailing gospel of his time, which was of Caesar Augustus. But we don't have a Caesar Augustus. What about the gospels of our time? The gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is a thumb in the eye of the spirit of the age. But what about our gospel of health and wealth? Same thing. While the gospel of Jesus Christ is not opposed to your health and to your wealth, this gospel is far broader and deeper and wider and infinitely more vast and far surpasses all those concerns, and it doesn't expire. Health and wealth are shadows in the light of this gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. For in this good news and in this gospel, the King of all, of all heaven, of all earth, of all time, of every age, and yes, even the King of health and wealth, has come close to you, that he may dwell in you and you in him. And so we hear it again. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's good news. False gospels compete with the good news of Jesus Christ, but none can compare. The gospel of Caesar Augustus failed pitifully. The gospel of the spirit of the age is new every morning, but it misleads every day. The gospel of health and wealth is just so often bad news, isn't it? Let your faith and your trust be in Christ and endeavor to make your life like his and live out the hopeful destiny of your baptism, for you are in Christ, the Son of God, and he is everlasting love, and he is in you, and that's good news. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.